The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Ancient woman told my mother, before I was born, gonna be a man child coming.
Hello. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily. There's your fake Secretary of State giving, a free concert yesterday at the State Department. So there you. The only thing that would have been better is if he would have pulled out a fiddle, fiddling away while Rome burns. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this show at trumpetdaily.com and at our Rumble channel. Just go to rumble.com/Trumpet Daily. Takes you right to our channel. You can join in on the live chatting that goes on there every day. And you can also leave a comment. And of course, give us the thumbs up Rumble if you visit the channel. Every weekday evening, the show has a replay on LFA TV. That's Live from America TV, also over at Rumble. A lot. Believe me, we have a lot to get to, a lot that's a little bit more serious than what you just saw there in the cold open. I couldn't resist, but a lot to get to on, it's a big news day. I mean, there's impeachment proceedings or at least an inquiry going on right now in the House. And you've also got those staunch conservatives that are actually putting the House through an appropriations hearing for several different bills as they go down it line by line by line, as it should be out in the open. Let's debate what we're going to fund. I think my favorite point, I forget who brought it up yesterday, to defund all of these crooked leaders over at the State Department or over at the Secretary of Defense's office. They wanted to reduce Secretary Lloyd Austin's salary to $1. So they're fighting. We'll see if those Gates Republicans, if they can hold steady. And it's also, as I'll discuss later, it's putting Kevin McCarthy in a difficult position, because they'd love, all of them, the Uniparty would love to just get a continuing resolution on through, spend another $7 trillion, don't look at it line by line, fill it with pork barrel spending, and on it goes. He promised, though, to do it differently back in January when they gave him that speakership. So as I say, we'll see what plays out the rest of this week and on into the start of next week. Also on today's show, you may not have been aware of the fact that there was actually a Republican debate last night. I got an email from Sam yesterday, our lovely producer, who said that, you know, for being an amateur political junkie, I had no idea that there was a Republican debate tonight. It really does get overshadowed by Jeroboam, by Donald Trump, by what's happening. Of course, Trump, for his part, he's out on the campaign trail yesterday timing his political rally right at the same time that you've got the Republican debate going on, the debate that hardly anyone watched. We've got it summed up in about 3 or 4 minutes of sound bites, so you can look forward to that as well. Let's go back to his speech. This is at Clinton Township up in Michigan, and I won't take the time to show you all the video of people, as per usual, lining up outside the event, packed inside and outside. I think the fake president was in Michigan at some automotive thing just yesterday, and there was something like 12 or 13 people. You compare it to Donald Trump. I don't know if it's literally that small, but the crowd size says a lot. It certainly does. This was Donald Trump last evening, clip 14.
They indict their political opponent, and what that does is it sets off a chain of events that's very dangerous in future years. It could happen to them very easily. The reason Crooked Joe and his thugs are trying so hard to stop me is that in my first term, I disrupted all of it. Oh, did I disrupt? Was that That was called major disruption. And in my second term, which we're sort of having now, but I don't want the results, right? I don't want the results of this second term. This second term is a disaster for this country. Worst president, think of it, there's never been a president like this. I say that you could take the five worst presidents in history, add them up, and he's done a worse job than all of them added up, but now I'm changing it. I think I can make it to 10 because nobody, you look at our border, you look at everything, you look at our woke military. I defeated ISIS. Our military was so great. I rebuilt it. But you look at what's happening in this country, it's horrible. But in my second term, we'll finish the job and we'll get rid of the cheaters, the liars, the scammers, and the criminals. They'll lose their grip on power once and for all.
It's interesting there in the middle, in case you didn't notice, but he said, and in my second term, which we're sort of having now. In other words, I'm the legitimate president. We're sort of having it now. This is a quote from AUA, from America Under Attack. If you don't have this book, by the way, call the 800 number. If you're in the United States, Canada, the Caribbean, it's 1-866-930-3024. Of course, you can get to all of our literature online at thetrumpet.com. But in America Under Attack, my father says, if you read through this prophecy, he's speaking of Amos 7, there appears to be no break in Jeroboam's reign. It doesn't describe his presidency being lost and then somehow being restored. Why is that? Because in God's view, Donald Trump never lost the presidency. He didn't lose. It was stolen from him. It says, by keeping the flow about Jeroboam going in this prophecy, it seems God is showing us that the election was stolen. He looks on Mr. Trump as still being the rightful president of the United States. This is God's view. Who is the rightful president of the United States? There's Trump yesterday. He's obviously not claiming the results of this disastrous Joe Obama presidency. But he says, you know, you could say this is my second term because I won in 2020. That's what he's out saying yesterday, showing, as per usual, some backbone, not backing down from all of these traitors trying to put people in prison for just what they think, what they think about the election. The rightful president. It's interesting. I'm going to probably touch on this more tomorrow, but I saw a clip from 1986. Trump actually bought Mar-a-Lago, you know, this crazy judge in Manhattan that says Mar-a-Lago is only worth something like $18 million. This resort that Donald Trump bought 38 years ago, right around the time of Herbert Armstrong's death, there was this, I forget what the program was, but it went on for 2 or 3 minutes interviewing Donald Trump. He had just purchased Mar-a-Lago and he was giving a tour through this incredible mansion that all totaled, I think he got for $10 million back in 1985. And some crazy judge thinks that after 38 years and after Donald Trump turning it into a perhaps the most famous resort in the country, that it's only worth $18 million or so. Even 38 years of inflation would, you know, they make a big to-do about what Eric Trump said, that he said he thinks it's worth near $1 billion. And they mocked him when they should be mocking this crazy judge. Forbes, what did I say yesterday? I think Forbes just last year said it was worth around 90 to 100 million, something like that. But just leaving that aside, the fact that he bought this palace, it really looks like a palace. It's almost like it's God preparing him for when the presidency would be stolen from him, because he sees him as the rightful president. And his offices, and he's having all kinds of people that are no doubt going to be in his administration when he comes back, legitimately comes back in the near future. And it's almost like it's a different headquarters for the United States. It's just interesting, the timing and such. As I say, maybe I can get into that more tomorrow. But it says here, Democrats spent all 4 years of President Trump's tenure trying to bring him down. And in the election, they finally succeeded. Politicians and the media did their best to cover it up. But God saw it all. He's the only one who knows precisely what happened. He knows about all of the fraud, every single bit of it. He knows how many actual votes Joe Biden got. He knows that Donald Trump won easily. He knows all the fine print. He sees all the details. My father says here, I believe there is, in fact, a pause in the events between verses 8 and 9. Again, he's speaking of Amos 7, and you'll just have to go through the chapter in this book that covers this in some detail. But a pause between Amos 7, verse 8, and then verse 9, and that we're in the prophesied pause now, after the election coup that stole the presidency from Donald Trump, but before he returns to power. That's from America Under Attack. Back in January of 2021, if you look at the Trumpet magazine, this is from earlier this year, but if you haven't subscribed to the Trumpet, make sure you also call our operators. Get a free one-year subscription. Get tomorrow's news today. This is what we wrote more than 2 years ago. It says, looking at this modern-day Jeroboam, you have to say God gave Israel a savior, at least to the extent that he wouldn't let these enemies bring down the nation. It says Donald Trump has been blocking this movement to blot out the name of Israel, which includes America, from under heaven. We said here, is his job finished? How many times have you heard from all of the commentators, the talking heads? I've got a clip here today. The walls are closing in. We haven't heard that one before. But how many times has the regime media said, it's finished. He is done. He is gone for good. And here you are in 2023, September of 2023, and there's a Republican debate last night that hardly anyone even knows about, that Fox News can't even sell commercials for. Is his job finished? My father wrote back in January of 2021. No, it isn't. So I don't believe at all that he will depart from the scene. I still believe these prophecies are 100% accurate. That's tomorrow's news today. Who's the most dominant political figure on the scene at this moment? All these polls, as I played for you earlier this week, having Donald Trump now 10 points ahead of Joe Biden. What were the talking heads saying just a couple months ago? Well, Trump might be the leading Republican candidate, but his weakness is he can't win in the general. Oh, really? You don't hear that as much anymore, do you? His job isn't finished. He is coming back. Well, the Republicans, as I say, they get together on stage. And, you know, it really, I didn't see it. I just saw the clips this morning. And in putting together those clips, I was telling Sam, it just shows how you've got Donald Trump at the head of the party. Of course, he's calling for the RNC to cancel any future debates so that they can all unite in their opposition to Joe Obama. Makes sense. But you're not going to get Republicans to unite, because they've all been affected, or you could say infected, by the Get Trump movement. And so here's a debate. Trump's not even there, and yet Trump is the topic. Trump, yet another debate that Donald Trump wins by not even showing up to. Listen to this montage, clip one.
I'm Stuart Varney of Fox Business, and I am thrilled to be sitting alongside my co-moderators, Fox News Channel Dana Perino and Ilya Calderon, Univision.
Good evening.
Joe Biden, he's completely missing in action from leadership. And you know who else is missing in action? Donald Trump is missing in action. He should be on this stage tonight.
And I want to look at that camera right now and tell you, Donald, I know you're watching. You can't help yourself. I know you're watching, okay? And you're not here tonight, not because of polls and not because of your indictments. You're not here tonight because you're afraid of being on the stage and defending your record. You're ducking these things. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You keep doing that, no one up here is going to call you Donald Trump anymore. We're going to call you Donald Duck.
All right.
And what you've got, I honestly, every time I hear you, I feel a little bit dumber for what you say.
I think we would be better served as a Republican Party if we're not sitting here hurling personal insults and actually have a legitimate debate about policy following Reagan's 11th Amendment in his honor. And the answer is, that is what actually makes our country strong. And I believe in these people. These are good people on the stage. They disagree, but let's have a legitimate disagreement. That's what I would say.
It's now obvious that if you all stay in the race, former President Donald Trump wins the nomination. None of you have indicated that you're dropping out. So, which one of you on stage tonight should be voted off the island?
So there you go. You get the food fight last night. They used to pile on Donald Trump for lowering the standard. And here they are. It's like a cat fight and put downs of Trump. And then it concludes. It begins awkwardly, as you heard. Then it concludes with her saying, OK, which one of you is going to step down first? Because as it happens, I mean, going the same way we are, Donald Trump's going to win. So then after the fact, Trump's people come out and say, you know what? They should cancel all the rest of them. The race is over. And this was from Trump's campaign senior advisor. Tonight's GOP debate was as boring and inconsequential as the first debate, and nothing that was said will change the dynamics of the primary contest being dominated by Donald Trump. And the talking heads know it. They know it. They know it. It's inevitable that he's going to be running against Joe Biden or else some other candidate that the Democrats push forward. We'll see. Just listen to this from Scarborough. I mean, this tells you all that you need to, besides it being revisionist history here, it tells you everything you need to know about just how weak the Republican field is, except for the one leading the pack. Clip two.
One of the great primary races ever would have been George W. Bush versus Donald Trump. That would have been a cage match. Can't you imagine?
Excuse me for cutting you off.
Yeah.
That would have been over in 5 minutes. Like Donald Trump would have started talking and George W. Bush would have looked at him. And he would have gone, and I'm the one that's supposed to be dumb. What are you talking about? And he would have gutted him. George W. Bush would have finished Donald Trump's campaign in 5 minutes.
Right. I mean, that's one of the funnier clips you'll ever see. 2 seconds ago, of course, George W. Bush was Hitler. He was a gunslinger. He was going to bring down the world. The world was going to go up in flames because of George W. Bush. Now, I mean, he would have easily beaten Donald Trump. It's so easy for these people to just make stuff up or to create these hypotheticals or to create these false narratives and then to say it with such arrogance. And of course, we would take a completely opposite view. Donald Trump, well, he destroyed the Bush family for the most part. Jeb Bush never recovered. George P. Bush never recovered. George W. Bush, he got in his two terms, okay. But go back and look at 2016. Jeb Bush was the anointed one. Jeb Bush. He was in line. Everybody knew it. It was just a matter of rubber stamping it on through. Until Donald Trump came down the escalator, George W. Bush would have gutted Donald Trump, right? Dream on, Fantasyland, with Joe Scarborough. I think it would have been quite different. This is going back to Trump's speech from last night. Listen to clip 12.
For decades, you've watched rotten and crooked politicians like Biden treat American jobs as disposable and American workers as expendable. They sat back and got rich by taking bribes to let other countries rape and pillage our jobs and our wealth. That's what happened. Joe Biden claims to be the most pro-union president in history. Nonsense. His entire career has been an act of economic treason and union destruction. He's destroyed unions, shipping millions of American jobs overseas while personally taking money from foreign nations hand over fist. Look at the money he got from China. Look at what's coming out, China.
As I say, I didn't watch the whole debate last night, but I would venture to guess that there was nothing said that is nearly as strong as what you heard right there. No wonder people would rather watch Donald Trump than a food fight between seven Republican candidates. It really makes you begin to wonder, once Trump comes back, who is even going to be available to really solidify his administration? It's probably just the people he's hanging out with at Mar-a-Lago. The people that we've even talked to on this show, General Flynn, Carrie Lake, she's got a big announcement coming up, I guess, in 2 or 3 weeks, evidently, to run for senator. But she certainly could be in line for VP, too. Who knows? But when you survey the field, you really don't see too many strong Republicans in the party. Like I said, they've all been infected, but to some degree or another, by the Get Trump movement. And those few that haven't, I mean, they've drawn strength from this man right here today. Finally, I mean, it should have been happening 6 months ago, but finally they've got this impeachment inquiry, and they're finally going to present, assuming it goes forward with a full impeachment hearing, America's going to be able to see all the evidence of what Donald Trump said right there in that clip, the bribery schemes, how he sold out the country. I mean, they've had money coming in from as many as 23 countries abroad. And for what? Well, they're selling the Biden brand. The brand is Joe Biden. $260,000 wired in from the CCP in 2019. Right as Joe Biden is revving up his presidential run, he knew it. And he lied over and over and over again, saying they never took money from China and he knew nothing about any of his son's business dealings. Here's a montage of what happened earlier this morning in that committee hearing, the impeachment inquiry, clip 18.
For years, President Biden has lied to the American people about his knowledge of and participation in his family's corrupt business schemes. At least 10 times, Joe Biden lied to the American people that he never spoke to his family about their business dealings. He lied by telling the American people that there was an absolute wall between his official government duties and his personal life. Evidence reveals that then Vice President Joe Biden spoke, dined, and developed relationships with his family's foreign business targets. These business targets include foreign oligarchs who sent millions of dollars to his family. It also includes a Chinese national who wired $250,000 to his son. To date, the House Oversight Committee has uncovered how the Bidens and their associates created over 20 shell companies, most of which were created when Joe Biden was vice president, and raked in over $20 million between 2014 and 2019.
Yesterday, the Ways and Means Committee released new documents showing President Biden was not just aware of his son's business dealings, but he was connected to them. According to a worksheet provided by IRS whistleblower Ziegler, then Vice President Biden's April 2014 official visit to Ukraine occurred only days after a series of White House meetings with Hunter Biden and his business associates regarding Ukraine. Shortly after Joe Biden returned stateside, the Ukrainian company Burisma announced Hunter Biden's appointment to its board. The agency was barred in the interview from asking him about Joe Biden and about whether Joe Biden was involved in Hunter Biden's deal with a Chinese energy company. And when Hunter Biden had his tax liability of over $2 million mysteriously paid for by a Democrat Party donor named Kevin Morris, who he barely knew, something IRS investigators saw as a possible campaign finance violation, Assistant U.S. Attorney Leslie Wolf said she did not want any of the agents to look into the allegation. This is the same attorney Wolf who, in an email we released yesterday, responded to IRS investigators seeking approval for a search warrant with, quote, "There should be nothing about political figure one in here, that being a reference by definition of Joe Biden." The Biden family sold access to Joe Biden's power, and the Biden Justice Department protected the Biden brand. We must continue to follow the facts.
That last guy there, Representative Jason Smith from Missouri, he's the one that came out with the statement yesterday about the new documents that they're releasing. This came a day after we learned that $260,000 was wired to Joe Biden, the big guy, his home address in Delaware. Donald Trump said in that clip I played a moment ago, he got rich by taking bribes to let other countries rape and pillage our jobs and our wealth. And he's completely right. He's completely, and now the truth is finally being given a platform. Now the truth is finally being exposed. This was Jason Smith just yesterday, clip three.
Let's look at what the new evidence released today shows. One, it is clear that then Vice President Joe Biden's political power and influence was, quote, the brand that Hunter Biden was selling all over the world. Even more alarming, the Biden family foreign influence peddling operation suggests an effort to sway U.S. policy decisions. From documents released just moments ago, as you can see in the WhatsApp message behind me, from June 6, 2017, Hunter Biden explicitly wrote to a business associate that he was not willing to, quote, sign over my family's brand, close quote, or give this individual, quote, the keys to my family's only asset. That asset could only be one person, Joe Biden.
Is the only, he still is the only asset, the political power, the political favors that he has to give to you, wherever you're from, China, Russia, Kazakhstan, Ukraine, of course, Ukraine, in exchange for piles of cash, cash money, treason. This is what we're talking about. High crimes and misdemeanors, bribery, a president of the United States receiving bribes. Certainly all through his vice presidency, at least. But who knows what's been happening these past three years or so. This was Donald Trump from his speech yesterday, clip 13.
The only time Joe Biden has ever gotten his hands dirty is when he's taking cash from foreign countries, which is quite often, actually. It's quite often. Based on what we're seeing, it's much more often than anyone would have thought. But can you imagine an unannounced raid on his many homes? He would have made Senator Menendez look like a baby. Just like a babe. Can you imagine? You know, they gave him 3 weeks' notice. You know, they said, we're going to raid your home over documents. They gave him 3 weeks. Would 3 weeks be enough? So I can imagine. I'd like to see what he cleaned out of there.
He's talking about Biden there at the end. 3 weeks' notice to move the classified documents around before the police politely came in and kind of examined. Quite unlike what happened at Mar-a-Lago. Raiding Mar-a-Lago. Unannounced. All of the investigation, Bob Mueller, the persecution, targeting Flynn, the two impeachments, the four indictments, the confiscation of property. I mean, that happened just this week. Again, some crazy judge saying that because Donald Trump said my property's worth this, but it really was worth this, well, then he's guilty of fraud. No complaints filed by any banks. Nothing like that. It's just some one lunatic judge that decides that Donald Trump exaggerated. And because of that, he can't do business in New York. Hopefully they get that on an accelerated pace of appeal. How crazy is this? These attacks, they're so deranged and they're so revealing because everyone knows that he being Donald Trump, he's the most dominant political figure in the country. Easily. Easily. Listen again to Representative Smith, again, laying out new evidence in this investigation into the Biden crime family. Clip four.
In one example,
Investigators documented how then Vice President Biden's April 2014 official visit to Ukraine occurred only days after a series of meetings between Hunter Biden, his business associate Devin Archer, senior staff within the Vice President's office, and Vice President Biden himself. We have received an email sent during that same time frame from an executive of Burisma, a Ukrainian company, to Devin Archer, saying a, quote, reasonable balance could be reached about Hunter Biden. 1 month later, Burisma announced Hunter Biden's appointment to its board.
See, they're gathering all these bits of evidence and then, of course, piecing them together according to the time frame. The chronology is very important as well, because now you can connect the dots and you can fill in more detail as you create that chronology. Here's the exchange. Here's what was said. And then, well, there you go. A month later, he's hired by Burisma, getting $60,000, $70,000 per month. In return for what? Well, among other things, getting Shokin fired, taking the heat off of Burisma, this corrupt company. Joe Biden bragged about doing it, and they got cash in return. In that case, $5 million for Hunter, $5 million for the big guy. Play clip five.
In another example from today's material, then Vice President Joe Biden hosted Hunter and two of his business associates, including billionaire Miguel Alemán, at the White House in February of 2014, where they had lunch, quote, in Dad's office. Just 3 months later, Hunter Biden sent an email to Devin Archer saying, quote, we need to get to Mexico City and cement the deal with Miguel. Public records show Joe Biden later used Air Force Two to shuttle Hunter and another business associate, Jeff Cooper, to Mexico City in 2016. These documents also underline how Hunter Biden's role as, quote, door opener extended far beyond his father and includes numerous other meetings between Hunter Biden and senior U.S. government officials, including now Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
Yeah, even Blinken, the guitarist, was in on the scheme. He's participating as well. Think of it, sending Hunter Biden on Air Force Two, the government's plane, the White House's plane, the Vice President's plane, and sending Hunter, shuttling him down to Mexico, solidifying those deals. Again, piecing together all of the evidence, connecting the dots, showing the chronology. Notice again, a couple more from, or at least one more from Representative Smith. Clip seven.
Millions of dollars were flowing through subsidiaries and LLCs to avoid taxes and shield visibility into how the money from foreign sources, including countries like Ukraine, Russia, China, went to different entities and Biden family members. The additional whistleblower documents we just released specifically mentioned 23 foreign countries on four different continents with connections to Hunter Biden's business operations. The map behind me shows the sheer scale and scope of this global operation.
23 countries on four continents. This is the family business. It makes you wonder what actual vice president duties the big guy carried out. I mean, this was a worldwide operation. Hunter traveling the world on Air Force Two to collect cash. He was the door opener. He's the bag man. He's the one that sealed the deals. And then with the help of others, of course, they set up the 20 LLCs so that they can launder the money and not have to pay taxes on it. At least that was the case with Hunter. Listen to the way CNN approaches all of this scandalous activity and behavior. Clip 8.
And House Oversight Republicans say that they were able to find two of these transfers from a Chinese national to Hunter Biden in 2019. And House Oversight Chairman James Comer is stressing that this is the first time the panel has been able to find examples of transfers that are going directly to Hunter Biden instead of through various LLCs, and also pointing out that the address on these transfers is Joe Biden's home in Wilmington, Delaware. Again, this is all coming as House Republicans are launching this impeachment inquiry, and they're trying to make the argument that essentially there was no daylight between what Hunter Biden was doing and his business dealings and what Joe Biden, now the president of the United States, was involved in. But of course, they fall short of meeting that mark in terms of actual proof.
There's no proof, she said. For once, she doesn't even sound like she's even any bit excited about this segment or being on CNN to present this. House Republicans say they found this and this, but, you know, of course they fall short of proof. They fall short of proof. What proof are you looking for? What do you consider to be proof? How about the wire transfer? How about the shady business dealings? How about traveling on Air Force Two? How about the LLCs? How about the fact that he didn't pay his taxes? How about the fact that he's got all of these dealings on his laptop? What do you want? You see, they're coming in with the decision that's already been made. In their minds, the Biden family is squeaky clean. And this is just a Republican attack on a Democrat family. No actual proof, says this woman on CNN. It really is just astounding how far they are willing to go, even when it's exposed, to just cover everything up and to pretend that nothing really did happen. One more clip from Donald Trump's speech yesterday in Michigan. This is number 15.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've been preparing my entire life for this battle. We did such a great job 4 years ago. We were unfairly interrupted. Let's be nice about it. We were very unfairly interrupted, but in many ways this is better because we've seen what a bad job they have shown us, what a horrible job they do. And we'll be able to do things that nobody would have thought possible. And people won't be complaining even a little bit, because between crime and all of the jobs that have been stolen from us and all of the factories that have been closing, all of the bad things that have been happening with Afghanistan and with Ukraine and with everything, people will say, wow, we want these changes to be made. We want these changes to be made very, very quickly.
He's been preparing for this his whole life, he says. That first clip I played earlier in the segment, he talked about this being, you know, kind of like his second term. He's not certainly claiming the results of what Joe Obama has done to the United States, but he's saying, I'm the rightful president of the United States. And look at, you know, another point that he made it there. Look at how much has been exposed. Look at the corruption that has been exposed during this so-called second term of Donald Trump. This is from that January 2021 Trumpet magazine, 2.5 years ago. It says, we all must realize that no politician can save America. The Republicans cannot save this nation. President Trump cannot. Only God can. We must see him at work in what is happening here. He's going to use these events. These events. This is written right after the election steal. My father says he's going to use these events to expose the evil and the corruption in America. And he will ensure that every one of his prophecies is fulfilled. So in so many ways, I mean, it's obviously hard to see your nation suffering through such bitter, bitter affliction. But how exciting to see these prophecies being fulfilled and to see God fully exposing this evil, the sickness, as it goes from the top of the head down to the toes of the feet. My father says here, these events are going to shock a nation that has already turned the page on our current president, but they should not shock you. He says, watch what happens And when this comes to pass, you will be able to recognize God's guiding hand. That's tomorrow's news today. That's from the Trumpet magazine back in January of 2021. If you don't have a subscription to that magazine, we offer it without cost or obligation. Just call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
I gave you this this quote from The God Family Vision, another book my father wrote some years ago. I gave it to you, I think, a few days ago. But it says, God wants to deepen our conversion. Knowledge is not conversion. It must be used, however, to produce conversion, to make us part of the God family government. I mean, this is what constitutes a true Christian. You can look at Romans 8. Herbert Armstrong used to say that verse over there, I think it's verse 10 or 11, says that a true Christian is characterized by one that is being led by the Spirit of God. And if you're led by the Spirit of God, I mean, you are converting to a God being. Ultimately, that's what happens in the end. We'll go through Romans 8 here in just a second. But it would make for a fascinating and exciting study just to cover that entire chapter on your own. Let me start, though, with something that Mr. Armstrong wrote back in 1967. He said, "You are not converted, begotten of God, a real Christian, unless or until you have God's Holy Spirit dwelling in you. On real repentance and believing, God promises to give you His Spirit. It begets you as His child. It opens your mind to understand His word. As a Christian, you start out on a different way, a different road leading to everlasting life." It says God's Spirit opens your understanding to know how to live by every word of the Bible. It is the way of God's law. It takes a divine love to fulfill His law. That is, to walk that way toward God's kingdom. God's Spirit is God's love. So God supplies you with the spiritual love to fulfill His law. He goes on and says He gives you Christ's faith. God in you, the faith of Christ. Just like it talks about over in Galatians 2, verse 20. Or Jesus Christ coming again in the flesh, 1 John 4 and verse 2. Notice Romans 8. Romans 8 in verse 5, it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit," it says, "the things of the Spirit." So even though we're very fleshly, in our physical makeup and composition. There is a human spirit that gives us mind power. And upon repentance and faith and baptism and the laying on of hands, that human spirit joins together with God's Holy Spirit. And God says then, as Colossians 3 verse 2 brings out, to set our minds on spiritual things, to not let the physical realm dominate our thinking. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, just satisfying fleshly desires and pulls, instead of looking into the law of God and living the way God says that we should live as true Christians. Verse 8, it says, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If we're living just after fleshly pulls and impulses, you can't please God. Verse 9 says, but you brethren, in other words, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, notice this, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. It says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, you're not a true Christian. As I say, this is what constitutes being a true Christian. If you have the Spirit of God, if it's dwelling in your mind, and you're not quenching it, as 1 Thessalonians 5 says, but you're being led by it. You're following God's lead. God can't pull you or drag you into his family. But he does want, as your loving father, he does want to lead you into his kingdom, into that family plan. Verse 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If we're led by the Spirit, that makes you a son, a begotten son first. But over the time, and of course you have a direct analogy here with respect to human reproduction. The begettal stage, I mean, it starts in the smallest of ways, but over the course of 40 weeks, there's rapid growth and development until finally you have a birth. I mean, there was a living organism in there, inside the womb, for 40 weeks. And then you have this birth. That's what's playing out spiritually for God's people, God's family. Those few that have been called out of this world to be trained for positions of rule in God's kingdom. We live out our physical lives and we overcome and grow, 2 Peter 3:18. Revelation 2, 26 and 27 says that God's going to give power to the overcomers. The rest of the world will have their chance. They'll have their opportunity to finally have their minds open to the truth. God's family, through Jesus Christ and the bride, which is the church today, they'll begin to work with multiple billions and billions of children, bringing them, if they're led by the Spirit, if they're willing to follow God. Of course, Satan will be put away at that time when the wonderful world tomorrow will be here. You can see all about that in Revelation 20. Read the first six verses there. And then the family of God begins to expand and grow. But coming back to, you know, what makes you a true Christian, that's what this passage here is discussing, Romans 8. Mr. Armstrong said in that 1967 letter, he says, here's the lesson. Be sure to understand this. God's Spirit, which he gives you, will not pull you his way, will not push you, will not force you. God gives, by his loving grace, the spiritual equipment so you can walk his way. But God will not drive you or pull you. You yourself must make the decisions to go God's way, and you yourself must set your will to go that way. We have a fantastic chapter in the Overcomer booklet, the War of the Wills chapter, that brings out some of these same points, how that we're to be led and empowered by the Spirit of God. You can get to that booklet at our website as well, thetrumpet.com, or call our operators and request how to be an overcomer. The number is 1-866-930-3024. Verse 16 here in Romans 8, it says here, the Spirit itself, that's speaking of God's Spirit, bears witness with our spirit, that's the human spirit, that we are the children of God. When that spirit joins together with the human spirit, then God can complete his creation in you. I mean, and this tells you a lot, too, about this passage, I mean. It tells us a lot about what God set up there in the Garden of Eden. And you had the two trees, and man was made. God saw it at the end of Genesis 1. He says, everything I've made is very good, including this human being and his wife. He instituted the union of marriage. And he said about these two, Adam and Eve, I'm really well pleased. However, their spiritual creation was not completed. Mr. Armstrong says they were like unfinished furniture. Beautiful. I mean, just God designed it all, fearfully and wonderfully made, even the human body. Psalm 139, verse 14. And he equipped that human body originally with a human spirit that needed to join with the Spirit of God. And God offered Adam and Eve that through the tree of life. That's what the tree of life represented. God's spirit, God's mind. And had they taken from that tree, then they would have been led by the Spirit, or they could have been led. But as we know, they rejected the tree of life and instead took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what has man been doing ever since? I mean, you see at the end of Genesis 3, he cut human civilization off from the tree of life. And ever since, except for a tiny few that God has called out in advance to train for positions of rule, man for 6,000 years has had his heart set on fleshly things. And we're at a point now, when you look at our country, at least here in the United States, I mean, it's every man for himself. Everyone doing what seems right in his own eyes. And just what do you mean, conversion? Mr. Armstrong said, the Holy Spirit will open one's mind to understand God's instruction on how to live, but it will not force one to live God's way. It will not pull or push one. It says each Christian must take his own initiative through God's Spirit, will give him help, faith, and power. So we've got to take those steps in the direction of God's law, in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, and then look to God and receive power and help and inspiration from God. You'll receive help, faith, and power. Verse 7, just to back up, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, or it's hostile to God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. I mean, the natural attitude of man is resistant to God and his law. It takes miraculous change in our hearts, our minds, through the process of repentance and faith or belief. And then upon repentance at baptism, the laying on of hands, you can see this over in Acts 2. And then God gives you his greatest gift, his own spirit, his own mind and power, which can soften that human heart and make it not hostile to the law of God, but actually make it to love the law of God. We're out of time, sorry, but we can go on with this study at a later date. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. Don't forget about the Twitter handle, @StephenFleury. And if you're at Rumble, give us the thumbs up. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.